Good morning, everyone, and welcome. After a few days of it being cloudy, you can go outside in the morning and see a bright sunshine, and your whole disposition just changes. It's amazing how that happens. But in our world today, it's heartbreaking how that there is so much ugliness in the world that overshadows everything that is so beautiful. There's too much hatred in the world. And death and destruction run rampant like a bulldozer on every continent as power-hungry men are grabbing all of the power, money, and land that they can get. And the suffering and sadness affects millions of people every day. Sometimes all you hear in the news, of course, is negative, 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 because it seems that the negative news is what makes people want to turn in. It's almost like an addiction to some kind of drug. It just makes you want to hear more negative. Where's the positive? And why does it seem you have to dig so deep to find it? Well, the truth is, you don't have to dig so deep. And while there's a lot of bad in the world, and the reason for that is because of sin, always remember, there has always been and there continues to be the enduring goodness because of the beauty of God and that He continues to rule in the hearts and minds of His children. In spite of those who deny God and rebel against Him and act out in the ugliest of ways, making life miserable for everybody else, there is still a God in heaven who reigns in the universe, and because of the power of His word working in the lives of those who believe, you can still see the beauty of God that He has made evident in spite of the hideousness of sin. There's one verse in the Bible that bears this out in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. In its time. Now the pessimist would say, yes, the time has come and it has long gone. But I can help you avoid that kind of thinking. I can help you avoid that attitude if you'll receive the word that describes what the Lord has done and continues to do. Seeing and understanding God's work dispels the negativity of the world. We're not required to focus on everything that is awful, no matter how much the nightly news insists that we do. And let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and then we'll still be able to view the beauty of God showing in His creation. Look up, see the beautiful blue sky and the fluffy white clouds that always are changing. Sky blue is a very comforting color. But I remember when I was a kid, staring up at the sky and seeing the clouds change into various shapes. I could see the different kinds of animals and plenty of fuel for a young imagination. If you just look around you, though, you can see the enchanting creation in the abundance of flowers that God has made. There's a rainbow of colors and a kaleidoscope of shapes and sizes, and it almost seems that reality exceeds imagination. According to one report in the Royal Botanic Gardens in the United Kingdom, there are 390,000 different kinds of vascular plants. And among those, 369,000 is about 94% of all of the plants that grow on earth are flowering plants. God has given us eyes to see and the magnificence of His creation to be seen, to gaze and to wonder, especially at the amazing variety of the flowering plants. On top of that, God has created the planting medium, the ecosystem, the nutrients necessary, and a watering system that supports this grand array and also to sustain the plants from one generation to the next of all of those who dwell on the earth. The watering system not just provides for the plants, but for all life here upon the earth, with spectacular views of the flowing rivers. You know, it was God who created the laws of physics, not only that make the water, but make the water move. The water cycle, the shape of the land, the flowing rivers all provide nutrients to our planet. And he also designed our world for an ever-changing landscape that's like a painting with a million colors on ever-changing canvases. Have you ever looked out an airplane window at 30,000 feet in the air? I've done that, and I felt awestruck at the innumerable colors. And it seemed like minute by minute, there was always something different that could be seen as I looked down, something that couldn't be seen from the surface of the world on which we stand. And I think that indicates that our position and our perspective has a lot to do with what we can see. The lower we go, the more we are limited in what we can see with our eyes. And I'm reminded of the mire of sin that prevents sinners from seeing the wonderful gifts that God has provided to them. God has showered us with his grace, even giving us his only begotten Son that could lift us up out of the mire of sin and place us where we could see all the way into eternity. But in the here and now, in this present time, even the lowest of sinners can look up and see the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. What God has created continuously is testifying regarding his power and glory. The person who refuses to see this has made a conscious effort to deny the existence of Almighty God. By observing the billboard of the skies, we can see the fingerprints of God in all of his creation. And according to the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We can see God as the most skillful designer. But I don't think those words are the best to use to describe him, not to describe the Almighty, the Everlasting, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient. He's worthy of all our respect and our admiration, our devotion and our dedication, and deserves all our praise and our honor and a lifetime full of gratitude. And even though God created everything and then said it was very good, he also knew that sin would enter into the world. It seems that everyone, every human being with eyes in their head or ears on their head, are enticed by the things around them. Human beings start focusing excessively on what is made rather than on the one who has brought it all into existence. The enticement of sin is so great that some people stare exclusively at either green paper or shiny metal and forget about all the spectacular beauty that's staring them right in the face. If we can just pause for a little bit from all the distractions around us in this world, for just a short period of time, we'll find the wonderful goodness of our Creator. The attractiveness of the love that God has shown to us in this creation. The wonder of His promises for not only this life, but also for the next, should make us long to be near Him because of the love that He has shown to us. For anyone who entertains the possibility that everything around us has come into existence by accident, I submit to you the words of a great thinker who once wrote some 1,600 years ago, "Question the beauty of the earth. Question the beauty of the sea. Question the beauty of the air, amply spread about everywhere. Question the beauty of the sky. Question the serried ranks of the stars. Question the sun, making the day glorious with its bright beams. Question the animals that move in the water, that amble about on the land and fly in the air. Question all these things. They all will answer you. Here we are. Look, we're beautiful." Augustine of Hippo wrote that back in 411. He said that the beauty of all of the creation is the confession of all of creation. And he asked, who was it who made all these beautiful things, if not the one who is beautiful and unchangeable himself? For man to understand and to know God, he can but observe all of these objects with which he shares, with which we share this mortal existence, and then we should seek to answer this question. Who is the power behind all of these inanimate objects to animate them? The force of nature is not nature itself, but the designer and the maker who animates everything in the world that would by itself be lifeless. Our souls are nourished by a loving God, and His presence is demonstrated in the beauty that surrounds us in this world. The power of God can also be seen by that glowing fireball that's 93 million miles away and can still warm the earth so that life grows. Not just life grows, but life thrives on this planet. By the moon and the stars shining through the night, reminding us that God's light and His love shines even in the darkness. Even as the world turns, the voice of nature is the Lord communicating to us from various places, including the ocean waves crashing on the shore, the breezes rustling through the trees, the sound of the crickets on a quiet summer evening. He speaks to us from the fields and the flowers and the lowest valleys and the highest mountaintops. And Jesus reassures us that the Father in heaven is always near and always cares for His creatures. You can see that in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 26. When He said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge, and we are far more valuable." Nature reveals to us God's power and wisdom and presence and creativity and beauty, and most of all, His loving kindness for those that He has created. And even if we don't know how to explain it, even if we don't have words to describe it, God's love for His creation might be one of the biggest reasons why people are just drawn outdoors to spend time being surrounded by the beauty of nature, to soak up the sun rays, to enjoy the brightness and brilliance of all that God has made. Why is it so enjoyable to observe all of the things that God has made? I have never yet counted the number of times when Jesus used lessons from nature to invite us into the kingdom of God But there are plenty of times that he did. The revealing of God through nature is so passionate and moving that the Apostle Paul reminds every reader to be aware and to honor the Creator whose invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. The Word of God inspires us and motivates us to understand more about our Heavenly Father, who has given us this wonderful planet that sustains us. But what is it that we might learn about God from creation? I would suggest to you that all of the things that we see around us, this world that God has made, if we just look at it and think about it for a moment, will certainly be a faith-building lesson. Faith might be the first lesson that we learn in the school of God's creation. Regarding faith, it's written in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." You recall in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be," and there was. "So that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything that is made is a reminder to us that nothing happens without something making it happen, and nature is not the force that created itself. God is that force, and he started with nothing and made everything into something from nothing. And what a powerful God we serve. Understanding God like that should make us trust him more, so that whatever he says, we accept it without question. Oh, I suppose there are plenty of people in the world, the skeptic, that might say, "Yeah, when has God ever said anything that didn't come out of the mouth of some man?" Usually some man that says, "God gave me a message and you can trust me." Oh, there have been plenty of charlatans, plenty of scammers, plenty of religious deceivers that have said things like that. But to answer that, the skeptic that might reason that way, I just have two words. And his name is Jesus Christ. Yes, there was the time when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the words, the very words that came out of the mouth of Jesus, was the words that came out of the mouth of God. The creation reveals Jesus. It's written in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him." He is the co-creator with God. And through him, everything in the world is sustained. Jesus has always existed with the Father in heaven, but he came down into this natural world in a natural sort of way. He grew up as all men do, but when he came to the man named John, who baptized in the Jordan River, a prophet that we call John the Baptizer, John testified that Jesus was the one who was prophesied to come into this world. So Jesus himself then demonstrated God's approval by the numerous signs and wonders that he performed. But nature took its course, and those who were jealous of Jesus' power and the drawing power, so that the masses flocked to Jesus, they all conspired against him and had him put to death. But even then, unknowingly, they obeyed the will of the Father in heaven. And Jesus, being God in the flesh, had power over nature. And the last sign that Jesus did on earth was laying down his life and taking it up again on the third day. And through the resurrection, Jesus contradicted nature and transformed the ugliness of the cross and the disgusting visage of a crucified man into the gloriousness of salvation and hope for life everlasting. As long as you are able to see with your eyes, and as long as this natural world exists, you'll be able to learn the lesson of God's unfailing love. As the scripture testifies in Psalm 33 and 5, the Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his goodness. Now, in some translations, you'll read the earth is full of his unfailing love. And though the world is full of sin, and the devastating consequences that sin causes, the earth is also full of the love of our Creator, and we can observe that in the creation. Here's one way to see it. One way to see through all of the gloom and doom. One way to get beyond the pessimism of the world and read the words of King David, the prophet, who wrote in Psalm 139 and verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now, laying aside the rare circumstance due to perhaps a birth defect or an accident caused by either sin or ignorance or former use of drugs or alcohol or dangerous chemicals, the kinds of things that come on man because of sin, God has done a rather marvelous job of transferring genetic material, genetic information from one generation to the next through a wondrous, efficient, and effective method of recreating the generations of his beautiful people upon the earth. Mothers can hold their babies that they adore and admire them and love them as we expect mothers to do. And as those children grow up, they learn from their parents how to love. And it often happens that as those children grow up, they bring grandchildren into the world, that nobody on earth could love more than grandparents. But for all the wisdom of God in creating humankind and blessing the human family with another generation of hope for tomorrow, God has also endowed human beings with the ability to make choices. And unfortunately, at one time or another, every person chooses badly. The wisest man who ever lived wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they've sought out many schemes. The scheming of human beings brought sin into the world, and sin brought death. And death has brought bondage and oppression and destruction. And people are dying by the thousands every day, and some in agonizing situations with excruciating pain. And this has gone on for a very long time. You might not be aware of this, but when a person dies, after just a few days, that person doesn't look so good anymore. And everyone tries to get rid of that ugliness. And so in America, we have institutionalized the dying and packaged the dead and removed them all from the sight of other human beings. Apart from God's mercy, the only thing that a person has to look forward to in this world, in the end, is a quiet moment with as little pain as possible. That has never been God's plan for his human creation. Ezekiel the prophet once declared that God had no pleasure in the death of the sinner, but that he would repent and live. The grossness of sin leaves us aghast and groaning, and all of nature is groaning with us. We know that all creation is still groaning and is in pain like a woman about to give birth. Every time you feel a tremor, there's a tectonic plate below the mantle of the earth that's letting out a little groan. Whenever a giant tsunami sweeps thousands of people off of a seashore, there was a quake at sea, letting out a little groan. When a volcano belches fire and smoke and ash into the air, it's letting out a little groan. To the faithless man, this present world is enshrouded in darkness and fraught with fearful enemies everywhere. But if that man's ear can be opened for just a moment, if that man's eyes can just be squinted barely enough to see a little light, he can see the words of the gospel and hear the message of salvation that has been brought to us through Jesus Christ. All creation continues to groan in pain, longing for remediation that will only come through Jesus Christ the Savior, for it is written, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. The resurrection of Jesus that will come with a mighty host of angels and all of those who have been resurrected will be what is coming, and Jesus' own resurrection was a portend of that event. For Jesus himself said, everyone who is in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Sin brought death, but Jesus has brought salvation and hope. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21 says, creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. This whole world will be recreated. The old shall be burned up, and a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells will be created by the power of the Word of God. And even if nature doesn't convince you to seek the Lord, you will ultimately believe and give glory to God. For it says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And it is at that that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, of those in the heavens, and those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The beauty of nature shows the beauty of the Creator. You should trust in Him. If you're not living according to His Word, then you should repent. Change your mind about the old way that you've been living. Turn from sin by confessing Jesus as Lord and being given an entrance into his body where there is newness of life and hope for eternity. If you're willing to submit to the Lord this day and there's something that we might do to help you, then reach out while we stand and sing this song. Yeah.